glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. That song that we were worshiping with here, I don't know if you were understanding what you were saying. People in this world, they trust in so many things. But what do you put your trust on? When that song says, you are the pillar that holds my life, it means if my pillar is Jesus, my life cannot crumble. Amen. Amen? Unfortunately, people have got so many pillars that they are trusting in, and that is not the name of the Lord. So you are doing yourself good if the pillar that holds your life is Jesus. Amen. Amen? Amen? And as we continue along the lines that we started about 2 weeks back, today we'll have a different topic, but it's still related to what we're sharing about last week and the other week. In Joshua 13:1, we hear where the Bible says, when Joshua was an old man, the Lord said to him, you are growing old and much land remains to be conquered. For the past 2 weeks, we were sharing with you how so much land still needs to be conquered. And in your own life, you can have goals, you can have things that you know, you look at the word of God and see, but God expects me to have this. God expects me to have this. God expects that. God expects that. And you realize you do not yet have all those lands conquered. Some of those lands are still in the hands of the enemy. And even just people who are close to you, some of them, they don't know Jesus. They are still in the hands of the enemy. So this Joshua 13:1, God was reminding Joshua that you need to be always aware that God has got something in store much more than what you currently have. So I want to challenge each one of you in your own life to think of things that you can see. These are the things that still need to be conquered. These are the things that I still need to get. And the other thing that we told you, there is that scripture that we read in Luke, which says, where Jesus says, occupy till I come. So as you are winning territories, make sure you don't lose the other territories that you got before. You see, the devil wouldn't mind if when you are advancing, you take this territory from him and he steals the other one behind you. You take the other one, he takes the other one. Then it's a zero-sum game. So when you conquer, make sure you occupy till he comes. So when he says, occupy till I come, it means when you have mastered something and you know it's yours, you take it and you possess it and you do not let the enemy get it back. So go with me to Joshua 1:3, New King James Version. It says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I've said to Moses. So if you look at this verse here, it talks about every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, God has given you. So it means you have a role to play. Although God has given us so many promises, although there are so many things that God has in store for you, you need to tread them. Amen? You need to possess each one of them. And you will see that when God deals with us, God is an awesome God. God is a great God. But you only benefit from that which is revealed to you. Okay, let me give you a simple example. Do you know that God is our healer? Amen. But how many Christians are suffering with sickness? Do you know that God is our protector? Amen. But you know how much sometimes we are afraid. Do you know that God is our provider? Amen. Do you imagine how often are you in lack and all that, even though God is your provider? So it means even though God has given us those territories, he wants us to place our foot on them and say, this is mine. Amen? Amen. And if you want, you can even write under new administration. It's mine now. Amen? Amen. That's the place where the sole of my foot has tread. So I want you to go with me now to the book of Exodus chapter 6, verse 2 to 3. Mr. MJ will do it in the NLT. Exodus 6, 2 to 3. I want to show you something here, because today I want us to talk about one name of God, or one thing about God, which is also crucial in your life. Just like we can say God is our healer, God is our provider, God is our protector, he can be anything that you need in your life. I remember when God came to Moses, when he appeared to Moses, and Moses said, when I go to the Israelites and I say, what is your name? What should I say? God said, I am who I am. Tell them I am has sent you. And then to me it says, I am who I am, and I will be what you want me to be in your life. Because if God had said to them, because he wanted to deliver them from Egypt, isn't it? Imagine God said, his name is the God who delivers. He tells them, okay, the delivering God has sent me to you. They would have been excited to be delivered from Egypt. But in the desert, they did not need a deliverer. They needed the provider. Amen. So if he was only Jehovah, the deliverer, he would have gotten stuck in the wilderness. So that's why also in your own life, he is everything. Tell your neighbor, my God is everything to me. When I need healing, he is my healer. When I need protection, he is my protector. When I need provision, he's my provider. He is my peace. Amen. Amen. He's everything I need. Now, look at this in Exodus chapter 6, because this is profound and you need to understand this. Exodus chapter 6, 2 to 3, NLT, Mr. MJ.
And God said to Moses, I am Yahweh, the Lord.
Okay. He is now saying to Moses, I am Yahweh, the Lord. Mm-hmm.
I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty.
Did you see the two things? He says to Moses, I am Yahweh, the Lord. But I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty. Yeah. But
I did not reveal my name, Yahweh, to them.
Did you see that? That is profound. So he says to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I appeared as El Shaddai, the Almighty God, and they knew me like that. I did not reveal my name, Yahweh, to them. Which means, what part of Jehovah is revealed to you? And that is what you will enjoy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So if you look at the Hebrew scholars, the Bible scholars talk about the seven name, redemptive names of Jehovah. The first one being Jehovah Roi, the Lord, my shepherd. So there are times when we need guidance, we need the shepherd. Okay? And he says, I'm Jehovah Roi. And then there are times when he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, my provider. So when I have a need, he is my Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. And what about when I need healing? He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, my healer. Amen.
Amen.
What about if I'm troubled and my mind cannot stay down because I've got so many problems? He becomes Jehovah my peace, Jehovah Shalom. Do you get that? And when I need victory, when there are people that are fighting against me or things that are fighting against me, he becomes Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner, or the Lord my victory.
Amen.
Amen. And what about when there is this sense of guilt, sense of condemnation, where people say, who do you think you are? You think you are better than us? He becomes Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord my righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm giving you these things so that you may remember that God is everything I need. And maybe there is more of God that I still need to possess. There's still more of God that still needs to be revealed in my life. And when I feel like I'm deserted, because sometimes people can leave you and you feel like you are alone, he is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is always there. Amen. And those of you who need verses, I can just give you the verses quickly for those, but this is not the menu for today. So Jehovah Roi, the Lord my shepherd, is Psalms 23 verse 1. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, is Genesis 22:8 and Genesis 22:14. Genesis 22:8, Genesis 22:14. Actually, in the King James, it will use that same word, Jehovah Jireh, 22:14, Genesis. And then Exodus 15:26, that is Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. And then Judges 6:24, he is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Also in the King James, if you read it, it will use exact words, Jehovah Shalom. That is Judges 6:24, the Lord my peace. And Exodus 17:15, that is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. So it's just that when we say the Lord my banner, it doesn't make good sense. So the banner is like an emblem, the flag. So when armies win, they usually raise their banner. So when you say the Lord my victory, when you say the Lord my banner or Jehovah Nisi, you are saying he is the one in whom I conquer. Amen. Amen. I raise his flag because he's the pillar that holds my life. Amen. And then Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, is Jeremiah 23:6. Jeremiah 23:6. And then the Lord our peace, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord our who is always there. Jehovah Shammah is Ezekiel 48:35. Ezekiel 48:35. So today I want to pick up one of those. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. You can use the title as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, or you can call it Godly Prosperity. Godly Prosperity. Or you can call it Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. So let me just start with you in this so that you can understand. What comes to your mind first when you are in trouble? Do you know when we grew up, if you are falling or something is happening, you say, Mawe! Mommy was the first person to call. So don't you think it would be good to, oh, Jesus! Amen. Amen. So let Jesus be the first name that I call when I'm in trouble. Because then I know he is my deliverer. Amen. Amen. What comes to your mind when you have a need? I was hearing something with Vome yesterday and I thought we need to repent. In some of these times, sometimes when you have a need, you know what we usually do? We start by thinking and budgeting and thinking that one and saving that one and doing this and doing that. And we don't even go to Jehovah, the provider, and ask him. Because sometimes we think we can. But he is Jehovah, my provider. So just like a child at home, I like giving this example about children because children believe parents very well. A child at home does not think of providing for himself or herself. She always thinks, mommy, daddy. And I told you the other time that if you go with them to Toys R Us or those big shops, the child thinks you can buy every toy in that shop. So they point all of them. They just get surprised when you say, calendar, wait for Christmas, man. So they don't understand, why do I wait for Christmas when mommy can buy this whole shop? Or just decide on one. The child doesn't understand, mommy has all the money to buy everything in this shop. But you've got Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider. Do we trust him enough like children? Or do we make plans often? Because you will hear, you will see that with children, when they trust, they trust. Children trust, especially between ages 3 to 8. They trust. They just believe anything that mommy says or anything that daddy says. Okay? Now, the thing that will determine whether indeed, it's like if, let's say now you are attacked with sickness. Whoever is your healer comes first in your mind when you are attacked with sickness. So that's the gauge, that's the barometer we must use. In other words, what comes to my mind first when I'm in trouble? What comes to my mind first when I'm in need? What comes to my mind first when I'm feeling sick? What comes to my mind first? In other words, who do I call to? We may proclaim with our mouth that the Lord is my provider, but you find that when I have a need, I'm thinking of neighbors. Where can I go and borrow money? And I haven't even gone to Jehovah, Jireh, the Lord my provider. And by the way, did you know that we did not name him Jehovah Jireh? He himself, he is Jehovah Jireh. That's his name. So if he says, I'm the Lord who provides, what's wrong with me expecting him to provide? Amen?
Amen.
People, understand this. It's God's will that you succeed and you be prosperous here on the earth.
Amen.
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 Go with me to the book of Genesis 1, verse 27 and 28 in the Message translation. I want to show you this so that you can understand that it has always been God's will that we prosper, that things go well with us, that we be provided for, that our needs be met. But unfortunately, most of the times you would find that we always go to other places instead of going to the provider. That Psalms 23:1, which says, the Lord is my shepherd, it also says, I shall not want. So when the Lord is my shepherd, he provides for me also. Amen. So Genesis 1, 27 and 28, Message translation says, God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. Now look at verse 28. God blessed them.
Amen.
That's where God started with me. Tell your neighbor, God blessed me. That's where he started with me. He blessed them. What were the first words he said to them?
Prosper.
Reproduce. Fill the earth. Take charge.
Amen.
I like especially prosper and take charge. I like taking charge. Amen. He says, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. That is real prosperity in the Lord. Because sometimes you people define prosperity as having a lot of money or as having that or as having that. Prosperity should be all-encompassing. Because you can have all the money if you have no peace. How many people commit suicide when they've got a lot of money because they don't have any peace? So it means money is not necessarily a gauge of prosperity. Okay? So when he says prosper, he also says take charge. Be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Amen. God wants you to prosper.
Amen.
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 What do you want? Do you know that what is surprising? When we started receiving the gospel, people used to say that if you are a child of God or if you serve God, you must be poor. That's the sign of being a child of God. But I don't find that in scriptures. I find the word of God saying, prosper, take charge. And if you go to the book of Psalms 35:27, I want to show you that God is pleased when you prosper. Yeah. So the other things that you are told or that you have been told that God is pleased when you are poor, I haven't seen such a scripture. That's why I'm not teaching that. But look at this. Mr. MJ, read it for us in the New King James Version. Psalms 35:27. And I want you to look at it and believe it as it is. Psalms 35:27, New King James Version, Mr. MJ.
Let them shout for joy and be glad, who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants.
Did you see that? What does the Lord have pleasure on? Say, in my prosperity.
In my prosperity.
He's pleased. Amen. And he says, let them shout for joy, and let them be glad who favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So this is what is happening. When the Lord has pleasure in my prosperity as his child, even those that favor my righteous cause must also shout for joy.
Amen.
In other words, when I succeed, rejoice with me. When you succeed, we rejoice with you.
Amen.
Amen. There are people who are always jealous of other people's success. Then you won't succeed. Because here it says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So the Lord is pleased when I prosper. The Lord is pleased when I succeed. So it means if I'm not yet succeeding, if I'm not yet prospering according to God's standards, then that's another territory that I need to get. You get that? Because in Joshua, when it says many territories still needs to be conquered, one of the territories is this one. Godly prosperity, success, here on the earth. Amen? God providing for us. So I want God to teach us to prosper in his own way. The problem with measuring prosperity according to the world standards is that you will use the wrong recipe and you will fall in trouble. So let's do it God's way. If God says he's our provider and says he's got pleasure in my prosperity, let him do it for me. And we want him to teach us. So Isaiah 48:17, New King James Version. Isaiah 48:17, New King James Version. I'm laying this so that you can understand. He says, thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Okay, the verse we read at first said, prosper, succeed, and all that, and then followed by the one that says, the Lord has pleasure in my prosperity. Now it says, he wants to teach me how to prosper, how to succeed. And now we need to be taught. We need to be taught how to do it. Because when the Bible says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that land have I given you, it means even if God wants you to prosper, unless you tread on that land of prosperity, you will not prosper.
Amen.
You will still be a good Christian. You will still die and be with the Lord. But you would have missed some of the benefits. You know Psalms 103? It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from destruction. So he was mentioning the benefits that are in Christ. And there are so many. Amen?
Amen.
One of them is this one of godly prosperity. But we want him to teach us to do it the right way. Because if you are not taught, and we don't follow God's recipe, we are going to follow the world standard of prosperity and we'll be in trouble. How many people today have been defrauded of their money because of quick rich schemes? And thinking that you would prosper quickly. Thinking that this will work quickly. And you even have to gamble, thinking that it will work quickly. So let's allow the Lord to teach us. If we want to prosper the godly way, may the Lord be the one who teaches us. So he will provide for you, but he will also teach you. Sometimes he will put a business idea in you. Do you think People who should be inventors and people who should come with new things and maybe successful business should just be people of the world. I think those who have a relationship with God, because God knows the future. The Holy Spirit should guide me. This is the territory that if you go and do this there, in 5 years' time, this will be a completely different place, and this will be like this. And then you find, oh, I was just at the right place, the right time. No, you are blessed. Amen. When you are blessed, you are empowered to succeed. You are empowered to prosper. So if God says he teaches us, there are seven things that I've listed, which to me I look as some of the things that are lessons on how to prosper the godly way, on how to take God as my provider. Go with me to the book of Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, New King James Version. Joshua 1, 8, New King James Version, Mr. MJ.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success.
Okay. Did you see? If you want to prosper, if you want to be successful, what are the things that come first? The book of the law, the word of God must not depart from your mouth. So if we say the first thing for me, it's the word of God must not depart from my mouth. So it means I need to speak the word related to God saying, let them shout for joy who favor my righteous cause. The Lord has pleasure in my prosperity. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my provider. He meets all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I've got to speak it. Let that word not depart from my mouth. That is the first thing I should do. And it says, number two, observe to do according to all that is written in it. So you will find that we say we believe God, we believe the word of God, but the word tells you something and you don't do it. When it says observe to do according to all that is written in it, it means when God has placed something in his word, he wants you to take it and live it. Obey the word. Speak the word and obey the word. So you would find that when God says something, he knows it's for your advantage. So it's like when he says give and it shall be given back to you, and you want to prosper but you don't obey that word of giving, then you not. This verse says this book of the law must not depart from your mouth. You must observe to do according to all that is written therein. Amen. Amen. In other words, I speak the word, but I also obey the word. Amen. I follow the instructions of God. Because indeed God wants us to have success. He prepares good places for us. So go with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. This was the time when the Israelites were moving from Egypt to the promised land of Canaan. I always equate the life of a Christian from slavery under sin to the kingdom of God as the life of the Israelites from bondage in Egypt to their promised land in Canaan. Now, I want you to look at this, because in this one, God tells them they are going to a good land, but he also gives them a warning. Because when things work well for you, do you know that actually where some of the old people got this doctrine of poverty from? It's because they realize most people, when God prospers them, they would forget God. Then they would say, it's rather better than I remain poor so that I mustn't forget God. That's where they picked it. Because they realized that most of the people, when you succeed, when things go well with you, you start relaxing. Yesterday at home, we were sharing the verse in Luke chapter 18, verse 3, in the Amplified. I liked that one. It's not part of this again. It's just go commercial. It was talking about that widow woman. It says, a widow woman, a desperate, it puts in brackets, desperate widow woman. Then I asked the children when we were sharing, I said, how will you pray if your life depended on that prayer? Because usually we pray casually because we are not desperate. Have you noticed that? Most of the time, you pray just to pass time. Because it's time to sleep, let me pray. Because it's time to go to work, let me pray. Sometimes you pray and you even forget whether you prayed. Okay? But when he talked about that woman, a desperate, saying that woman was desperate, I started realizing, actually, if you pray as if everything depended, so I even thought of, do you know that people usually if they're in trouble or you've got a loved one in ICU and they are saying things are not looking good, this person is going to die any moment. Have you seen how we prayed? Huh? Even those who never prayed before, even people who don't know Jesus, they want to start praying because now it's serious. But I want you to look at this Deuteronomy and then see how God does not only want us to pray because we are in trouble. We can have that attitude of praying like you are desperate all the time, even when I'm not desperate. Deuteronomy 18, 7 to 18 in the Good News Translation, it says, the Lord your God is bringing you into a fertile land, land that has rivers and springs and underground streams gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land that produces wheat and barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and honey. There you will never go hungry or ever be in need. Did you see that? He was proclaiming him as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord their provider. He says, when you get to that land, you will never go hungry or ever be in need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Its rocks have iron in them, and from its hills you can mine copper. You will have all you want to eat, and you will give thanks to the Lord your God for the fertile land that he has given you. Make certain, this is the thing, other translation would say, beware. You see, when things go well with you, he says, make certain that you do not forget the Lord your God. Do not fail to obey any of his laws that I'm giving you today. When you have all you want to eat and have built goodly houses to live in, and when your cattle and your sheep and your silver and your gold and your all your other possessions have increased. You see what God's thinking about you is? That when you go into this promised land, you will have all you want. You will eat what you want. You will have good houses. I like it also when it talks about houses. It's not wrong to have a good house. Okay? And when your cattle and your sheep multiplies, when your silver and gold multiplies, what are you supposed to beware of? Then it says, 14, be sure that you do not become proud and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from Egypt where you were slaves. In other words, when things go well with you, don't ever forget God. Don't forget who brought you where you are now. Amen. If we say you are the pillar that holds my life, some of us, we could have been dead by now, but the Lord has kept us. Amen. The Lord has sustained me. Amen. So therefore, I will not forget him. But usually people forget. You know that? Tell your neighbor, don't ever forget God. We are just giving you a friendly advice. Because if you forget God, you are opening yourself up to the enemy that he can pull you down from where you thought you ever have been, down to the ground. That's how Lucifer fell. When he started being proud and thinking that he can go above God. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go to verse 15. He led you through that vast and terrifying desert where there were poisonous snakes and scorpions. Okay. When I look at this, like I said, when I look at the journey of the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land, when they were going to the promised land, they were going through some difficulties. And God led them, even where there were poisonous snakes and scorpions. Do you know that if we were to ask some of you to come here and tell us what you've gone through? Some of us would not even want to sit next to you. You've gone through it all, but you're still here.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
I've gone through it all, but I'm still here. So he says, I have led you through the desert where there were poisonous snakes and scorpions. In that dry and waterless land, he made water flow out of the solid rock for you. In the desert, he gave you manna to eat, food that your ancestors had never eaten. He sent hardships to test you so that in the end he could bless you with good things. Last week we were talking about a good soldier of Christ. We said when you are a soldier, you endure hardships. Even when things are difficult, you still stand. Having done all to stand, you stand. You are a soldier. Amen. Then verse 17. So then, you must never think that you have made yourself wealthy by your own power and strength. This is the trick. So that is the third thing. After the first two, the third thing is always remember God as your provider. You must never think that you have what you have because of your own strength. You know, sometimes even with whether it's our education, our qualifications, or whatever we earn, we say, oh, you know, oh, I worked very hard for this degree. Hey, I worked very hard. There are many people who worked very hard for that degree and they didn't get it. Okay? So you must never think it's about my ability. Okay? Sometimes, even with our works, oh, no, I worked hard for this money. Oh, I worked hard for this business to grow. Where it is today, I worked hard. It's fruit of hard labor. Partly so, but not completely so. Because you must remember, it is the Lord your God who gives you power to get wealth. So it means when I'm successful today, I owe it all to God. And if you have that attitude, you will always succeed. But if you don't have that attitude, then you fall into the trap that the old people, when they started preaching the poverty gospel, they were realizing most people, when they start going, things start going well for them, they forget God. Do you know that some people, before they get a job, they pray a lot. Even praying for a job. Even you don't even miss a service. You attend all the prayer meetings. But now you get a job and then you forget the Lord your God because things are well with you. And this is the problem that the Israelites had. Have you noticed the Israelites, the way God used to deal with them? You know about they would be taken to captivity in Babylon, taken to captivity in that place. This is how they used to do it. So when things are well with them, they would forget God. And the only way God would reach out to them is to allow their enemies to capture them. And when they were in trouble, now they call on God. They remember God. Don't be like that. Don't wait for problems to make you remember God. Don't wait for problems to draw you near to God. Let the word of God draw you near to him. As we're speaking now, may the word convict you that you say, I don't have to wait to be in trouble to love God. I don't have to wait to be in trouble to pray as if I'm desperate. Amen. I don't have to wait even to be sick to confess my healing. You know, the one thing that I do for myself, because I realize, sure, the sickness one is the serious one, because you know that if, let's say, you haven't yet conquered the land of prosperity, you can still live. It's fine. You'll just be missing some of those. But with sickness and disease and all these things and all that, the enemy is out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So it means the first land at least I should master. It's about Jehovah as my healer. It's about Jehovah as my protector. Jehovah my savior who delivers me. And then, of course, now I can go to prosperity and others. Because now here when it says that you must never think that you've made yourself wealthy by your own power and strength. What must you remember? Verse 18. Remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you power to become rich. Does the word of God have the word rich? Huh? R-I-C-H is there. So, but if he gives me power to become rich, if he gives me power to succeed, then I will not boast in my success because it's not me. It is his grace that has brought me where I am. It means when the Lord has blessed me, I also know how to give because he is the one who gave me to start off with. Amen. So usually when you want to hold on to what you have, it's because you think you made yourself successful. You think you made yourself rich. Can I give you a simple example? Again, children. So children, I usually talk good ones about you, but this one is the negative one. Don't worry, Sunday school. Have you noticed if you give, again, 3 to 8 years old, especially 3, 4 years, if you give 4-year-old a lollipop, sweet, a 3-year-old, give her that sweet, let her start sucking it, then ask for it. More often than not, you won't get it. And she forgets that you are the one who gave her that sweet to start off with. So what's the big deal in her sharing with you? Because a good child, a wise child, should know that mommy and I, we eat together. So when mommy gives me the sweet and mommy asks for it back, I give it to mommy. I know mommy will give it again and mommy will give me many more sweets. Amen. You get that? Amen. But then imagine a child who, when after you have given her a sweet, now you ask him for the sweet. Oh, yeah, it's my sweet. It's my sweet. As a mother, what do you think? How? You did not get this sweet yourself. I gave you the sweet. And I've got power to give you more and more sweets. Just enjoy your sweets with me. If you have that attitude in giving, don't you think giving will be simple? Hmm? Or you want to be that child? Ah, it's my sweet. It's my sweet. But you're telling the one who gave you the sweet and who has got much more sweets. Do you know that when mommy is asking for that sweet back, it's not because mommy is desperate of sweets. They're just testing your character as a child. You'll find that mommy will just get it back and only suck it once and give it back to you. Mommy only wanted to see your obedience. But now, it's my sweet. Now you display that attitude to mommy. Unfortunately, Christians also display that attitude to God. So when he says, remember that it is the Lord your God who gave you power to get wealth, who gave you power to become rich, it means I must know that what I have, it's him who gave me to start off with. So what is the big deal in me sharing with him? No big deal. Because he gave me first. We are teaching you to prosper the godly way. Amen. Because it says, I am the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I want to teach you to profit. I want to teach you to be successful. Now, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19 in the NIV, I want to come to this fourth thing now about trusting in our abilities. And I want to say the other thing, if you want to prosper the godly way, never trust in your ability. Don't think that you are succeeding because of your own. That's what we started in Deuteronomy. Now, in Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19 NIV, it says, command those who are rich in this present world. Not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth. So it means people who are rich in this world, you mustn't put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides. You see that word, the Lord, my provider, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Is that in the word? Huh? Tell your neighbor, God provides me with everything for my enjoyment. God doesn't have a problem when you enjoy. Amen? It's only if then your enjoyment draws you away from God that it becomes a problem. So it says, charge them not to put their trust in wealth, but to God who provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So we need to command you, if you want to prosper the godly way, we said the book of the law must not depart. You must keep on speaking the word. You must do the word. You must never think that you are making it on your own. But you also need to be a giver. Amen? Yeah, it's a package. Because Joshua 1:8, when it says, the book of the law must not depart from your mouth, and it says, you shall observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. So the recipe for success is, I obey the Lord, even when it comes to giving. It's a recipe. So when it says that, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share, it means I will be a faithful giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 to 12, NIV. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 12, NIV says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So we want to reap generously, isn't it? We want to succeed, isn't it? We want to prosper, isn't it? This is the recipe. So it means I cannot then be a stingy giver and expect a great harvest. If I'm stingy, I must get a stingy harvest. Amen? Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. In other words, you must never be forced to give. For God loves a cheerful giver. And you can only be a cheerful giver if you are that child with the sweet, I know, mommy, we eat together. And mommy has got much more sweets in store. Amen? And when I share this with mommy, we'll continue sharing. Have you noticed that actually in our partnership with God, we come as a partner with nothing, and God has got everything. You know, in covenant relationships, okay? So you come with nothing, you come with sickness, you come with sins, you come with all those bad things. And God has got all these good things, and yet he says, I want you, you are my child. I want to be in covenant with you. So it means, even when he asked me to participate in his finances, then let me do it this way, because it's not like God needs me. I need him. Amen? So I will be a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all you need, you remember the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Amen. In other words, I will be a faithful and a generous giver. And I'm on my way. to godly prosperity. Amen. I will remain faithful to him. I will speak his word. I will believe his word. I will obey the word. I will always depend on him. So for me, I had to do some repentance when I was talking about that one where sometimes when you have a need, where quickly we think of planning. Have you noticed? Quickly think about the budget. Quickly think, I can only get that in December when I get my bonus. It's human nature, isn't it?
Yes.
But where is Jehovah Jireh in that equation? Jehovah, my provider. Where is he in that equation? So can we start trusting in God? Whatever you need, go to God first. Whatever you need, go to him first. Okay, let me show you this one. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 8 to verse 16, New King James Version. These things of God first is very, very important. Okay, somebody, I heard somebody saying something. He said, when you want to save, yeah, it's a statement, it's not the Bible, but I thought it was the right statement. He said, when you want to save money, don't start by paying all your debts and other thing and then use the money that remains to save. Start by saving and then do the others. Then I realized it's the same principle with God and finances and giving and all that. If you think that you are going to give after you have done everything, then you are like those people. You remember when Jesus was born, it says there was no room for him in the inn. In other words, you dish out all the rooms. Now at the end, you say, I need to tithe. I need to give. It's no longer there because I have distributed that already. But if I start with God first, so look at this. 1 Kings chapter 17, 8 to 16, New King James Version. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. I want you to look at this. God chooses a widow to provide for his servant. That doesn't make good sense, isn't it? Don't you think he should have gone for the rich man of the town? He says, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he is doing it that way so that you can say it is God. Because if he had gone to the rich one, you would have thought, is that rich person? And you would start saying, do you know that sometimes people, when they give and all that, they make pastors and other people to be their slaves because I'm a big giver there. If I'm not there, things will stop. God can provide even with the widows.
Amen.
Amen. It just says God can use anybody. So he says, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering stick, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, okay, this is what I'm thinking. It's not in the Bible. Didn't we read there on top that God had already commanded that widow woman to provide for Elijah? He probably had said, you need to give him part of this food that you have. So now when the man of God came and said, give me water, she was happy.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Then she was going to get it. He called her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Oops. Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. Only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. But what does he mean? Because how do you make bread? With flour and oil. So she says, I do not have bread, like some of you when it's giving time. I don't have. I don't have anything. And quickly she realizes, but I have bread, I've got flour and oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. If you're going to eat it, you can eat it with your son and die. But that's not the godly prosperity. That is not the way to succeed. If you want to succeed, listen to his command. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake from it fast. Can we all say fast?
Yes.
It's him, fast. And bring it to me, and afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. What was the difference? Okay. The first time she wanted to eat her son and die. Now listen to the voice of the Lord and obey his instruction, even if it didn't make sense. Let me give to the man of God first. And then what happened? She and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. So it means, as we are sharing with you the word of God, we want you to receive a word from God that you can stand on and trust God. And when you want to succeed the godly way, you need to take God's word and be a doer of that word. Be a doer of that word so that you can then reap the benefits of that word. Do you know that what she did here to Elijah? In my view, there are two things here. How many of you know that Elijah also had a need? He wanted the food. And the widow woman also had a need. So, the man of God had a word from God. And he also had a need. The woman had a need, but she needed a miracle. Amen? She had a bit of flour, a bit of oil, but she needed a miracle. How many of you know that what you have is not enough? Tell your neighbor, I need a miracle. Amen. I need a miracle. Because the flour and the oil doesn't look enough. I need a miracle. And now, when she did that to the man of God, God saw her obedience. And also God saw that he could use her to bless a man of God. Read with me the book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. It says, and he who receives and welcomes and accepts a prophet, in the Amplified Classic, because he's a prophet, he shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives and welcomes and accepts a righteous man, because he's a righteous man, shall receive a righteous man's reward. Did you get that? So in other words, because she had done that for the man of God, obeying the word of God, she received the prophet's reward. She was provided for. So if we want to succeed the godly way, let him teach us how to do it. I actually get surprised. Most of the people who got this thing right, most of them even lived under the old covenant. You will realize that some of the examples I'm giving are from the old covenant. And they understood how to partner with God in whatever they had. Another one who blesses me as we're starting to wind down is 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to verse 17, NLT, is the Shunammite woman. ladies, I like this woman. You know, like for if I had a Bible characters to choose from the Bible, for men I would choose Joshua. I love Joshua. I love the way he did things. Amen.
Amen.
For ladies, I love the Shunammite woman. Amen. I want you to look at this, the Shunammite woman, because there are so many things that we can learn from her. So many things that we can learn from her. Above most of which is how she activated a miracle by just partnering with God in her giving. 2 Kings chapter 4, 8 to 17 NLT, it says, one day Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there. You see, now the Bible talks about a wealthy woman. So if you are wealthy, it's good. Amen. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. So the man of God needed food. She said to her husband, okay, she was wealthy, but she still respected her husband. She said to her husband, I'm sure this man who stops from time to time is a holy man of God. So that is the thing that attracted her. Okay? She says, we have these material belongings, but there is something that the man of God has which we don't have. I want to be connected to this man of God. She tells her husband, let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by. Imagine the pastor is going to preach in another place and somebody says, no, we're going to build a place for you to stay. This room was built specifically for the man of God. It will put a table, a chair, a lamp, fully furnished. One day, Elisha returned to Shunem. He went up to his upper room to rest, so he went to the same room. He said to his servant Gehazi, tell the woman from Shunem, I want to speak to her. When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? I believe that's the attitude of God also. When you are so much immersed in his kingdom and you always want to do things for him, he says, what can I do for you? Amen. You remember the king asking Esther, Queen Esther. He says, Queen Esther, what can I do for you? My king is asking, what can I do for you? So now he says, what can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army? No, she replied. My family takes good care of me. So she says, when it comes to material things, I'm sorted. I mean, can't we? What can we do for you? I'm sorted. Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, what can we do for her? Gehazi said, she doesn't have a son. And her husband is an old man. Okay, so she had wealth, but she did not have a son. So it means there are things that money cannot buy. Okay? She needed this man of God. What happened then? Elisha says, call her back again. Elisha told her. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. You see, the man of God had a need. She provided for him, but the man of God had a God who provides.
Amen.
This next year by this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she cried. Oh, man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. Do you know that sometimes if you've been asking God for something and you've been trusting God, sometimes when we speak this, you start thinking, man of God, don't say that. Don't get my hopes up again. I once had my hopes up and they were dashed. Please don't say that again. This is how this woman was feeling. Don't get my hopes high. But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. Did you get that? So it means she did it the godly way, and God came through for her. So it means all the things that we need, if we want to succeed in God, let's do it the godly way. Whatever you need, do it the godly way. There are so many ways to do things. Some of them are shortcuts. I once heard these words. Shortcut has a price to pay. You know, many times when you want to take a shortcut, you pay dearly. Huh? Just go the right way. Don't take a shortcut. Go the right way. And then I thought, oh, that's why maybe we pay also in toll roads. It's because we want a shortcut. You pay. Okay? So in your life, never take a shortcut. Take the right cut. If the right cut is the short one, then that's fine. But it's not because I'm trying to cut corners. Because you will pay dearly. So I want us to land with Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 18. I want to put to you the sixth thing. I was supposed to share seven things with you. I'll see, I think time might fail me. Never leave God out of your finances. He is your provider. Don't leave him out. He is your provider. Malachi 3, 8 to 18. I like this because I took it even to 18 because it also defines how sometimes people think people of the world are succeeding. It says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. You see what is God's intention? Huh? God's intention is that he wants to provide well for me. He wants to take good care of me. But he wants me to trust him. Okay? He says, I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightsome land. I like to be called blessed. Amen. That's why when you ask me, how are you, Pastor? I'm blessed and highly favored. Amen. Amen. I am blessed. When you are blessed, you are empowered to prosper. When we talk godly prosperity, when you are blessed, you are empowered to prosper. You are empowered to succeed. The opposite of that is when you are cursed, you are empowered to fail. You know, you go to a place, okay, this is what happens to if you don't have Jesus as the pillar of your life. You remember when we started here, we said you are the pillar that holds my life. If you don't have Jesus as the pillar of your life, there are people who are used by the devil. They can cast a spell on you. Negative spell. And you are cursed. And things will never work well for you. Okay? Even if you leave your homeland to Joburg, the curse follows. People are applying for jobs, and when you are just the next one in line, we are closed. Why? The curse is following. That's what happens with the curse. But how about if I'm blessed? If I'm blessed when things were closed, just when I come, now they open because the blessed one is here.
Amen.
Amen. How would you like it to be the blessed one of the Lord? The favored one of God. He says, all the nations of the earth will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land. I want to enjoy the blessing of God. This is the other territory that I dearly want to occupy. The blessed one of God, the favored one of God, the prosperous one of God. Amen. He says the Lord. Now, verse 13, this is now where it gets a bit rough. You've spoken arrogantly against me. At first he said, you are robbing me. But now he says, you have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? What did they say? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? Haven't you sometimes seen people who say that? What am I gaining by serving God? People who don't work for God, they are better off. This is what it's saying here in Malachi. People who don't serve God, they're actually more prosperous than me. They have cars, they've got houses. I don't have. Do you think God would be happy with such statements? So he says, you have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Almighty? But now, we call the arrogant blessed. So you call the people who are arrogant, people of the world, you say, they are better off. Certainly, evildoers prosper. Is that prosperity? Evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. You see what they were saying? Do you think God will be happy with that? He says, this, you speaking arrogantly against me. I am your provider. Now you're starting to compare yourself with those people of the world. You don't even know how they are getting those things. You know that sometimes when people have got things, or they've got money, or they've got that, or they're buying that, you don't even know how they're getting it. Maybe they are stealing. And there are others who talk about others have got other spirits that are giving them those things. Now, because you want to compete and you want to get prosperous the non-godly way, then you fall into a trap. Just be simple and follow your God. Let your prosperity be a godly one. Let it be God who lifts you up. Because if God lifts you up, no one can pull you down. But if people lift you up, they will pull you down. Okay? So he says, we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. But now, look at verse 16. I like to be in verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord, so the ones who were speaking now didn't fear God. Those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. Do you see that? Do you see now that God listens when we are speaking? The first ones were saying, what does it gain profit to? Some of you would say, I've been a Christian and I'm doing everything, and that one doesn't even go to church, but look, things are well with him. Do you think God would say, you are right, my child? God says, you're speaking arrogantly against me. Who said I don't want to provide for you? Now you want to follow his God? It's just that God is not me. You see, some of these things, you start comparing me as your God with those people's God, then it's like saying, do you want to follow their gods? Because you don't even know how they got the things they have. Okay? But if you do it the godly way, God is faithful. Look, he says, on that day when I act, so tell your neighbor, the Lord will act. Says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasure's possession. I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. So we who serve God, God is compassionate on us. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Between those who serve God and those who don't. Do you get that? So, just hold on, child of God. Just remain faithful to God. God is faithful. Don't copy and say, because people of the world, they are succeeding, because they are doing this, they get away with it, they don't do this, they do that, but things go well with them, look at me and all that. That's being arrogant against God. Remain faithful to God and see what God wants to do for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to prosper you. He says, I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord, your provider. I want things to go well with you. And let's land with Deuteronomy 28. This is the last one we read. Because the last thing I want to say is that enjoy the blessings of obedience. You saw I mentioned several things. So now, when we talk about enjoy the blessings of obedience, tell your neighbor, it pays to obey God. The opposite of that is there's a penalty for disobedience. You remember when Saul disobeyed God? And the man of God says, the sin of disobedience is like you are going to witchcraft. Okay? It's like you are stubborn. Disobedience. God hates disobedience. But if you obey God, you will see how things go well with you. You will see sometimes some of the blessings, you won't even have to look for them. Blessings will look for you.
Amen.
Yes. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 13. New King James Version. Now look. Now, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey, that's where we started in Joshua. Obey to do according to all that's written therein. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe carefully all his commandments. In other words, you do his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Now, verse 2. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Amen.
So it seems like blessings are waiting. They are looking for me because I obey God. I told you that even a curse can follow you. So if a curse can follow you, why can't blessings follow me? Curses can, you know, especially Africans, they are very cruel. Those ones who do the witchcraft things and all that. You can put a curse on a person and you find this person, maybe he was even very bright at school. You find something is wrong. Curse has been placed on that person. That person is suffering. Things are not working out. Because there's a curse upon that person's life. But when you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. I like that blessings should look for me. The other time I told you, poverty has lost my address and I'm not going to renew it. There was a time when poverty would easily find me. Now, all the letters coming from poverty, they get lost. Amen. But blessing, follow me.
Amen.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Amen.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
So all these blessings will come on me and overtake me. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your land. The increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be you when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. You see, it's blessing all the way. Can we say blessing all the way?
Blessing all the way.
The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. You see, the good thing with God, Sometimes when you are prosperous, when things are going well with you, there are enemies who may want to pull you down, who may even want to bewitch you so that things must not go well with you. But he says, the Lord will cause, that's why he's not only my provider, he's also my defense. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee before you seven ways. You know what happens? I don't know if some of you have ever experienced this. People would have plotted against you. They agreed. And when they come and things are being said, now they start fighting with each other. And you haven't even started fighting. They just start fighting among themselves, like the Syrians, the Moabites, and the Ammonites when they were coming against Jehoshaphat. You remember that Jehoshaphat and his people didn't fight that battle. Three armies came against Jehoshaphat. They had agreed. We are going to conquer Jehoshaphat. And when they came, the Lord set an ambushment against them. It says, the Moabites and the Ammonites, it started with those of Mount Seir, the Ammonites, the Moabites, two of these nations agreed to fight against the other one. They had agreed, the three of them, they were going for Jehoshaphat, but they started killing the other one. When they finished the other one, they went for each other. And the Bible says when Jehoshaphat arrived there with his people, they just collected the spoils. So they can come against you one way, but they will run in seven different ways. So this is the real prosperity. Not the one where you only have things and the Lord doesn't know how to preserve them for you. Okay? The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouse and in all to which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Then all the people of the earth, you see again, shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. This one, I've seen it. There was a time when, we had a recent example. When I went up now to Limpopo, there were some people, they were plotting things against us and saying, no, that field, this. And they agreed among themselves. And they even had the chief of the place, the headman of the place. They had plotted their things and that. So when I arrived there, just when I started asking, they started by saying, actually, we are all relatives here. We are all one here. Understand this, Mr. Mkosi. We are all one here. We are this. Then they talk those things. And after that, the other one trying to raise the thing, I don't know whether they had agreed on that before. No, but about this field, you see that side? Hey, you stop. Keep quiet, Wena. We are not here for that. And then they went on like that. Then at the end, when we had agreed, then I said, but what was the problem here? Because it seems like, so then when I went away, I talked to my other mother. You see, in our tradition, sometimes you find you've got more than one mother. Okay. And then she said, I think the Lord had clothed you with a almost like the skin of maybe a lion or something that's scary for them. Because they were very much, before I came, it was like they felt this is it. But when I came there, all of a sudden, some started differing among themselves. And at the end, things were so simple. Then I said, but why is this thing so simple? Because I also had expected a bit of fight. But when the Lord is with you, he will fight for you.
Amen.
Amen. He will go before you and level all the mountains.
Yes.
Even when they have plotted against you,
Amen.
He will give you victory. Okay, so let's finish reading it and then we can pray. Where are we? Verse 12. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens to give you rain to your land and its season, and to bless all the works of your hands. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. This is the other land that I want to possess. I was reading in another translation. It says, you shall lend to many nations, but you will not take a loan. Then I thought, oops, I still take loans. It seems this is another land I must possess. It's not that it's wrong to take loans. I still do that. But that's not the best that there is for God. Amen? Because according to this one, we shall lend and we shall not have to borrow. The Lord, my provider, has to provide for me. So can you see that even I, being a pastor, I also have some lands that I still need to possess. I know when it comes to healing, even the devil knows that. That one is mastered. There's no two way about it. I don't think of anything when I'm attacked with sickness. I think about God. I've got that land. I'm not giving that territory. But when I look at territory like this one, you shall lend and you shall not borrow. It's not necessarily sinful to borrow. But the borrower is the slave of the lender. Isn't it? And sometimes it means the fact that I have possessed the land of healing doesn't automatically translate to the fact that I've also possessed the land of prosperity and success. That's why when we started there, it says he revealed himself to Moses as the Lord Almighty, Yahweh. And to Abraham, he revealed himself as, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he revealed himself as El Shaddai, the Almighty God. And he did not reveal to him as Yahweh. He did not reveal to himself to them as Yahweh. So this is the challenge, my children in Christ. There are so many lands, so many territories that we still need to conquer. If you haven't mastered a certain territory, don't pretend like you have mastered it. You need to admit, I still need to do some work here. Okay? I still need to do some work here to possess that land. And when you master it, don't let the enemy take it back from you. Last week I gave an example where I said, some of you, you had already mastered the land of giving. You've been successful, you had a breakthrough in giving. And now all of a sudden, that land is stolen again. It's a struggle now to give. By the way, do you know that even when it comes to giving, there are people who just don't know, where do I start giving now? It's a struggle. It's a land that you need to, a territory that you need to possess. But when we said he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, I need to know him as the Lord my provider. When you say he is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace, I need to know him as the Lord my peace. Even when my heart, when there are many things that are troubling all around me, I can still rest in him. When I know him as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer, the Lord my defense, the Lord my banner, I like Jehovah Nisi. Amen. Jehovah my victory. So can we stand up and thank God for the word that we've heard? And I want you, as we are thanking God, think about some of those lands, the territories that are still in the hands of the enemy, and claim them. If it comes to this one about Jehovah being my provider, he's teaching us how to do it the godly way. And let's be obedient and follow him. And all the blessings will come upon us and overtake us as we diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord our God. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you.